Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are, program number 42. I have in front of me here enough notes and outlines and verses and things to come up with a whole series of hour-long sermons and teachings. But what we're going to get into, we just got done going through part of what I wanted to talk about when it comes to the church, which is the body of Christ, which is those of us who have put our faith in the risen Savior by looking to Paul as our apostle in the King James Rightly Divided Bible, and churches, which are local assemblies. We've talked about those in the last four or five programs, and I think it's time that we get kind of serious here, get pretty tough here, on a teaching that is taken over everywhere. You will find this particular teaching, this emphasis on soul winning, by what is called today the Great Commission. These are the places I've run across it. A place called Hepzibah House, Cane Creek, Michael Pearl's teachings, Jack Hyle's teachings, even Dr. Peter S. Ruckman teachings and his followers, Landmarkism, Brighter teachings, Calvinistic teachings. It's called Reform and Reconstruction. If you're a history buff and you've studied all these famous personalities and heroes from the early American days, those folks taught Great Commission. Group called the Brethren. You'll find it in all the teen departments because everybody wants to get teens to bring others to Jesus, and they'll use their music and rock music and anything they can to get them to make that so-called commitment. Missionaries. We'll talk about that. This is how this thing got started. In the music world, the CCM, the Contemporary Christian Music, they all preach and teach a Great Commission. In homeschools, you've got Vision Forum and many other programs that are there to help people teach their children at home. Those are Great Commission oriented. You've got prophecy programs. They're always telling you what's wrong with America, and they've got it figured out. Everybody seems to know what's wrong, but their solution is a Great Commission solution. You'll find this in the large churches, the mega churches. You'll find this message in the small churches, the home churches. You'll find this among your family and your relatives. And what it is, it's the difference between Israel and prophecy and the body of Christ. It's the difference between the nation Israel and the nation Gentiles. It's the difference between the circumcision of the flesh and the circumcision from the flesh for the Gentiles. It's the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace. The ministry of Jesus Christ to the Jews and ministry of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. It's the ministry of the 12 apostles compared to the ministry of the apostle Paul. It's the difference between Christ and Peter and Christ and Paul. It's the difference between preaching a kingdom church and the church of the body of Christ. It's the difference, as we will see, the Great Commission and what I call Paul's Greater Commission. Christ, the King of Israel, and Christ, the head of the body of Christ. It's a difference between grace and a dispensation and a dispensation of grace. It's the difference between God's promises to Israel and God's promise to the body of Christ. It's the difference between God's assurance to Israel and God's assurance to the Gentiles. It's the difference between the Sabbath and Israel and no Sabbath and the body of Christ. It's the difference between remission of sins and forgiveness of sins. Difference between the great white throne and the judgment seat of Christ. It's the difference between a water baptism and a spirit baptism. It's the difference between the Lord's Supper and communion and no Lord's Supper, no communion. It's the difference between what Peter preached at Jerusalem and what Paul preached at Antioch. It's the difference between the second coming of Christ, the second advent, and the glorious appearing of Christ, and what we call today the rapture. It's the difference between the way of God and the way of God more perfectly. It's the difference between in time past and but now. It's the difference between pride in keeping the law and confidence in being dead to the law. It's the difference between an almost King James Bible and the King James 1611 Bible. It's the difference between all the other modern Bibles in the world and a King James 1611 Bible. It's the difference between man's own authority and God as a final authority. It's the difference between your own feelings for your final authority and the written scriptures. It's the difference between the gospel of Jesus to the Jews versus the gospel of the risen Christ to the Gentiles. It's the difference between hyper-dispensational fears and dispensational truth. It's the difference between psychological pastors and political pastors and truthful pastors. It's the difference between Bible users, Bible carriers, and Bible believers. It's the difference between people followers or those that follow the truth. It's the difference between a compromised truth, if there's even any truth in there at all anymore today, and biblical truth. It's the difference between a humanistic false love and God's true love. Difference between man's own faith and the faith of Jesus Christ. It's the difference in life about God and life with the living God. It's the difference between earthly imitators and Paul followers. It's the difference between music listeners and Bible readers. It's the difference between Acts chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 4. It's the difference between the severity of God and the goodness of God. It's the difference between Revelation 6, the coming of the Antichrist, and Revelation 19, the coming of the real Christ. And then finally, it's the difference between missionaries with a Great Commission gospel Jesus message versus any missionary, that there are few out there, missionaries with Paul's message, and they will see the change in their lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. So what is this Great Commission, as we call it today? Well, it's hard to be critical of the Great Commission. It's hard to be critical of those that are preaching and teaching it. They talk about the love of Jesus, the love of going to church, the love of the brethren. They're drumming up money all the time, and they're happy, smiley people, and they're always talking about soul winning. It's a message that's full of good words. Romans chapter 16, their messages are messages of fair speeches, and they use words of man's wisdom, enticing words of man's wisdom. They're using flattering speeches. Unfortunately, those speeches, those sermons, those teachings, those talks are swelling words of vanity. They're malicious, they're vain, and they're perverted, and they're feigned. What do you mean by feigned? F-E-I-G-N-E-D. Invented. Imagined. Assumed. To assume a false appearance, a counterfeit. So the Bible tells us that words spoken today, if they're teaching a false gospel, then they're teaching a false appearance. They're teaching a counterfeit Christianity. So how can you say that? How can you just so boldly say something like that? Well, there's a couple different reasons. One of them basically is you go to the scriptures and you see where they're getting their church design from, and they're getting it from Acts chapter 2. And then when you rightly divide and you compare it to Paul's teachings for a church in Ephesians chapter 4, you see massive differences. Well, what about this Great Commission? Where do you find that? Well, you find it in Matthew. So let's take today, and I'm sure tomorrow, and we'll talk about this Great Commission at length now. We'll talk about what's taught. We'll talk about the pastors that preach and teach those things. We'll talk about why pastors today cannot, won't, and are not even allowed to preach Paul's message, the message of the risen Savior. Why pastors don't dare preach about the goodness of God, but instead they choose to preach the severity of God. And who are some of these people, by the way? Oh, the list is huge. Basically, you just get a list of preachers and pastors today, and I can virtually almost guarantee that they're preaching the Great Commission. Why is that? It brings in people, and it brings in money, brings in popularity, brings in gain, and all those things prove to people today that that's godliness. Here are some names that I've run across in my years that when I mention these names, some folks will, I know him, well, he couldn't possibly be teaching something wrong. That's right. That's how these preach. They preach good words, fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, flattering words. Those are good words. Those are the things people like to hear. And in fact, do we not recall what he says in Timothy? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." That's what's going on. How can you say that? Well, you just start looking at these doctrines, sound doctrine, and you go by how many people want to hear that stuff today, and we see without a shadow of doubt that in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, when people don't want to hear about the goodness of God, which is what this is about Paul's teachings, then that's when God is going to cut off the Gentiles. So the rapture is based on teaching and preaching the message that the risen Savior taught to Paul, of which Paul goes now today out to the Gentiles only. And what we have today, we have people and preachers and pastors and teachers and parents and friends and neighbors and relatives all preaching and teaching and trying to live what Jesus taught to the Jews. That is called today the Great Commission. Who are some of these guys? Billy Graham, Charles Swindoll, Rick Warren, Gardner Taylor. Do you know any of these names? Adrian Rogers, Haddon Robinson, Andy Stanley, John Stott, Criswell. You ever had a Criswell Bible? I have. I know of what I speak here, folks. John Piper, Charles Stanley, Stephen Olford, William Jones, Bill Hybels, Fred Craddock, Mark Driscoll, Jack Hayford, William Willimon, E.K. Bailey, James Kennedy, Barbara Taylor, Warren Wiersbe, Lloyd Ogilvie, Tim Keller. There's Richard Allen, founder of the African Methodist Episcopal Church, Francis Asbury, Peter Cartwright, two famous circuit riders, Henry Ward Beecher, Lyman Beecher, Antoinette Brown Blackwell, Alexander Campbell, Thomas Campbell, Lorenzo Dow, Timothy Dwight IV, Congregationalist there, Black Harry Hosier, Jerina Lee, Robert Matthews, William Miller, Joseph Smith, Barton Stone, Nathaniel William Taylor, and Ellen White, Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, Samuel Davies, Mary Baker Eddy, Felix Adler, Charles Russell, Jane Addams, D.L. Moody, Philip Bliss, Fanny Crosby, Sam Gipp, Chuck Dobson, Jerry Falwell and his Moral Majority, Lester Roloff. The names go on and on. I could go into a list of authors and all of the books that you buy in the bookstores today. They're all based on Great Commission teachings of some form or another. Randy Alcorn, Kay Arthur, Julianne Barnhill, Lisa Bavary, Allison Botke, Jill Briscoe, Candace Boer, Valerie Burton, Juanita Bynum, Ben Carson, Francis Kahn, Patsy Claremont, Vicki Courtney, Nancy Lee DeMoss, Linda Dello, Sue Edwards, John Eldridge, Stassi Eldridge, Shannon Eldridge, Shannon Etheridge, Pam Farrell, Margaret Feinberg, Shanti Feldham, Elise Fitzpatrick, Sherry Fuller, Elizabeth George, Jim George, Holly Girth, Billy Graham as an author, Craig Greshel, Michelle Hammond, Cynthia Harold, Liz Higgs, June Hunt, Kyle Eidelman, David Jeremiah, Barb Johnson, Tim Keller, Ann Graham Lotz, Max Licato, John MacArthur, Brennan Manning, Marilyn Mayberg, Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Donna Parto, John Ortberg, Joel Olstein as an author, Sandy Patty, Sherry Shepherd, Priscilla Scherer, Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley, Joni Erickson Tata, Cynthia Tobias, Ann Vuskamp, Sheila Walsh, Thelma Wells, Rick Warren, Women of Faith, Philip Yancey, names and names and names. Charles Neiman, Steve Gaines, Doug Sauder, Judd White, Jimmy Swaggart, John Wilkerson, Johnny the Baptist, John MacArthur, Craig Greshel, Mark Driscoll, Jack Van Impe, names and names and names. They're preparing people for the coming of the Antichrist. Can we not see that? All this supposed hoopla in religion with smiling preachers. Oh, I could give you some more names, but let's not do that. Let's just keep going here. All these authors, all these books, all these CDs, everybody is presenting and preparing for the coming of the Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. All you have to do is go to a local bookstore, otherwise known in the scriptures as the modern den of thieves, and look at the books, look at the CDs, look at the videos, look at the Bible study sets, look how much it costs to supposedly hear the truth about something. Look at the different variations of the supposed truth. Good words? Sure they are. You guys write books. Fair speeches. These guys speak really well. Enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, sure, for those itching ears. And flattering. Who doesn't want to hear themselves flattered? Unfortunately, these are also swelling words of vanity. I mentioned that. And they're spoken by great personalities. And I have to point out here, let's go to Jude just for a moment here. We're going to bunny trail over to Jude, way at the back here. Jude 16. And their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Having men's persons, who that person is, in admiration. They admire this person because of advantage. This person has advantage. This person has a degree. This person has skill. That's one of the characteristics of the tribulation. Do we see that not getting closer and closer and closer? When I was younger, it was just one person. Now we've got famous personalities all over the place. Why do you go to that church? Well, because of the pastor. Why do you buy those books? Because of the author. Why do you go to that sermon, to that conference? Because this pastor draws. I want to see the pastor draw. I want to see this historical experience. It has nothing to do with preaching the truth. After you're done with one of these great preachers and teachers that have these ear-to-ear smiles on TV with these mega churches and these thousands of listeners, ask yourself, what did you just learn? How much of what you learned came from your Bible? How much of what you learned, if you learned anything, came from Paul's books? Or did they come from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Did they come from Peter? 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Revelation? Everybody likes to teach Revelation. Did he go back to the Old Testament? Did he put some fear of the severity of God onto you? Or was he teaching the goodness of God? Now, we're not talking about the love of Jesus. We're not talking about the love of God for everybody. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. By the way, the Bibles that these people like to preach from don't say begotten. And the Bibles that these guys like to preach from take the blood of Christ out. And don't forget, these Bibles take out Mark chapter 16, 9, all the way to the end of the verses, 20. That's a lot of verses just to take out of a Bible. And what they say is the most reliable earlier manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 to 20. Oh, yeah? But your Bible also takes out the promise of God to preserve his words. Your Bibles also take out the right to divide the word of truth. Of course, people don't know what's going on today. They're being deceived with good words, fair speeches. They're being enticed with words of man's wisdom, and they're being flattered. Well, let's go to Matthew. Let's look at what this Great Commission is. Let's kind of check out the scriptures. And then I'm going to tell you why this is such a big deal today. I mean, since 1611, That's over 400 years. How come all of a sudden I have to get out there and I have to start teaching Paul only, with such a strong emphasis? Why do I have to kibosh on the Great Commission? What's wrong with the Great Commission? What's wrong with the Gospel books? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with it in its time. If that's taught today, then we're teaching a false gospel. Paul says in Galatians, by the way, keep your fingers there in Matthew for those of you that are flipping your pages with me. Paul says in Galatians, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So the Great Commission taught out of Matthew and Mark is a perverted gospel if it's taught to us Gentiles, to us Church of God today. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Then he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. He's not after man. He's not seeking to please men. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we've been over those verses where Christ met with Paul more than once, more than just that time on the road. So let's go back to Matthew and let's see what this great commission is that people are so excited about. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. See, he's talking to the Jews. He's commanded this stuff to the Jews. That's what they need to be teaching. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Which I know different Bibles say end of the age, by the way. Always got to change something to get that copyright so they can make more money. Then if we go to Mark chapter 16, I guess if you have a modern Bible, you don't need to go there because your Bible doesn't have it. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 here. Why would they take this out? Because this explains and this exposes the Great Commission for what it is today. And these are modern Bibles. So sure, this took place at one time. If they're going to teach it today, they've got to get rid of that thing so we can't expose for what it is. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, here we go. This is why the Great Commission is so popular. It has results. And the man who started the emphasis on the Great Commission, William Carey, the father of modern missions, was able to get results, numbers, gain. And Paul warns about that. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now you notice there's various parts of the country, different segments of this thing are stronger than others. For example, taking up serpents, and if they're drinking any deadly thing, they won't get hurt. So you know about the snake handlers, and you know about the poison drinkers. And then you've got those on TV that lay hands on the sick, and they supposedly recover. And then you've got those that are speaking with new tongues. Then you've got those that are casting out devils, so they say. They're all over the country. And they can all turn to the scriptures to show, well, see, this is okay. Verse 19, So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Now, we've already been over the fact that signs are what the Jews need. So during this time, they needed to have signs. We've also been through the scriptures to show you where any miracles or healings or wonders that are being done today during Paul's dispensation of grace of the risen Savior, those miracles and signs and wonders are actually being accomplished by the devil himself trying to put together an army. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 16. This is what's going on. So how did this thing even get started? How come all of a sudden you had to make such a big to-do about it? Well, there's a simple answer. It's a spectacular answer, actually. And it helps those of us who understand rightly dividing. It'll help us understand what is going on today, in this day and age, in this world, and in this country, as bad as things are getting, and yet there's these supposedly revivals of happy Christians all over the world, winning people to Christ, people being killed, persecuted over being a Christian because of the things they say. There must be this marvelous rebounding of Christianity. Or the Antichrist is getting ready to come, and these people are making a strong stand for the wrong Christ. Don't you think that's what enticing words could get people to do? Don't you think good words and fair speeches could charge people to challenge people to get going? Be the Christian they need to be? Go out there and win everybody to the Lord? You've got missionaries all over the world preaching and teaching the Great Commission, winning souls to the Lord. Well, let's just set this aside for today. You've heard me talk about these things before. On Monday, I'm going to show you how this thing got started. How this Great Commission thing become so important? It's right there in the Scriptures. Right. But how come we have to push Paul so hard today? What's going on here? There's a problem here. I hope that you can listen in Monday. And I'll also tell you why the pastors and preachers today won't and can't preach what I'm teaching you here. There are those out there that still do. Not very many. And there are those out there that preach Paul. As I say, preach Paul. But they still leave something out. I call them reward stealers. We'll talk about them too next week. Have a good weekend.